This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features, we give them away. So enjoy those. They're on us. That, once again, is freetalklive.com. Let's go straight into the phone calls and talk to Joseph in Massachusetts. You're on Free Talk Live. Hey, Joe.
Hey. Just to divert a little bit, I heard Mark had a TV show.
I'm just wondering
how I could watch that. Is that online or something?
We're working on it. The first episode's aired, the second episode's aired, and I have to get the CD from the station. They have to keep it so that they can air it again and again, and now they're prepared to give me the first show, and I sort of have to get the producer who's in charge of that to
Right, we're sort of we're holding Mark's hand and helping him understand how to convert video and upload it. So Mark's going to be handling all the behind-the-scenes stuff on that particular end of things, and it's probably my bad for even mentioning it, but gosh, it was exciting and new, and I thought it was important to talk about.
Yeah.
So we'll get it out there. You'll hear about it. As soon as the first episode's available, we'll announce it on the show.
Okay? He looks so handsome, too.
Joseph, anything else?
That's it.
Thanks for the call, man. 800-259-9231. I told you our listeners were chomping at the bit for that, Mark.
I know they want to see it.
All right. So we'll get that out there as soon as we can. All right. Wayne, last hour, you mentioned that you had an email in regards to or from Brian's son, Brian from Colorado, who calls the show from time to time. His son had gotten into, I guess, some conflict of some sort, an intellectual conflict with his, history teacher or something like that?
Social studies.
Okay.
What's the latest? His son was telling him that his social studies teacher had said in class that the three worst economic systems were communism, socialism, and capitalism.
Okay. No, hold on. The worst... communism, socialism, and capitalism are the three worst economic systems. Now,
what's the best?
What else is there?
Well, of course, there's mercantilism, which is what she's confusing capitalism with, but we'll get to that. And so this gave him a great lead-in. He told them about how the word socialism had been corrupted by dictators like Mao and Stalin and others.
And Hitler.
Yeah, and Hitler. And they call it communism, as in common or commune, each of which are based on the importance of the community over the individual. He told his son that communism was really a dictatorship with the dictators hiding behind the theory of selflessness, which is a great way to put it.
So, essentially what she's teaching is... It's bad, these three forms of government in the way that they have been practiced up to this point are bad.
Yeah.
And
capitalism is a form of government.
Right, that's true.
It's an economic system.
Right.
So anyway, then he talked about socialism, which is really communism in its pure and academic form. And he told his son that socialism in a laboratory setting and even in small groups seems to work. At least some people claim it does.
I don't know about that, man. I mean, have you ever been to a commune?
Yes.
Doesn't look like it works so well. I mean, it's functional, like their power bill's still on, but the whole cleaning the house thing, they don't seem to really be so good at all that.
Oh, yeah, it's about sharing and equality, and as long as everyone picks up and does their work, it's okay. But when people start goofing off, it can deteriorate very quickly. And obviously, in a larger society, that happens.
Yeah, it seems to me that the more people are involved in the commune, the worse worse it's going to get. It's one thing to have an agreement between two or three people. It's another thing to have an agreement between 20 people.
Well, a family is sort of a commune in a way, husband and wife.
No, I wouldn't say so. Husband and wife, then you've got a partnership.
Yeah.
And
those partners dictate the rules to the children.
Yeah, the children don't have an equal share in that. They have to play by whatever rules.
They get older, but I mean, on a farm, in the old farms when they had 8 kids, the kids were the underlings in a sense, but when they get older, they took over the farm and became equal partners.
Now, why could you not have a communal arrangement between two people? I mean,
theoretically, you could.
A partnership is a communal arrangement.
I guess
it doesn't have to be. Like, for instance, you and I are partners, but we have a system set up where we are kings of our billowack, as it were. So, one could arrange different things, and that's how marriages have a tendency to be,
too. Well, if communism or socialism or whatever, we'll call it communism, if communism were to ever work, it would have to be done on a voluntary basis. And that's the critical difference is, are people getting together and working on a farm together on a voluntary basis, or are they being coerced? Are they being forced at gunpoint to work on this farm? The first choice is okay. I wouldn't choose it for myself, But the second choice is absolutely just despicable.
And some of the voluntary communes you've seen across the U.S. will work. They'll seem to work for a while, but they always end up deteriorating and breaking up. They never seem to last.
One of my favorite The Onion articles, which I've read probably a couple times over the years on Free Talk Live, is Marxist Apartment, a microcosm of Marxism, or something like that. I don't know the exact headline, but it's very funny because they go into the apartment of a couple college kids, which of course are they're being indoctrinated with the ways of communism at their college, and it's just showing how community property is bound towards failure. And
I mean, that's
people
that's
are stealing
phrase,
money from each other.
That's where the phrase "the tragedy of the commons" has come from.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've seen it over and over and over again.
No one's cleaning.
It's almost a social law that if something's owned in common, people are going to treat it poorly because they don't own it.
Arguments over who's supposed to do what this week. Mm-hmm. And, it was a hilarious article. Anyway, so go on with the story.
Well, he says that any two-year-old, when told by his mother that he has five toys and he should give a couple to his brother who has none, he doesn't want to give them up. So these people want to base a society on something that a two-year-old knows is wrong. So his teacher was right. Communism and socialism are bad forms of society and bad economic systems. I suggested to him that his teacher was not objecting to capitalism, but rather mercantilism. And then I explained to him that mercantilism is capitalism with government protections allowed by a system that can't figure out where government ends and individual freedom and responsibility begin. I told him the story about the barber, the only barber in town that figured out that he could cut hair and that people would pay him. He bought a small store on the main road and hung up a sign. People came to him because he was the only one in town who could cut hair, and they paid him based on whatever price he wanted to charge. At some point, another person blew into town who said he could cut hair, too. He was about to set up shop across the street and start cutting hair of the people that the establishment barber had cut. As a result of this competition, the first barber was losing his customers.
Mm-hmm.
As a capitalist, he would have cut his prices or improved his service, gotten better magazines, maybe some Playboys, whatever, or perhaps put a television in the shop. He would have figured out ways to compete with this new barber. As a mercantilist, however, he went to his friends at City Hall and suggested that the new barber might not be qualified to cut the town's hair.
Mm.
He might poke someone's eye out with scissors.
We need standards.
That's right, or he might cut someone with a razor blade. Very dangerous situation.
You know, I was having this conversation with a dental hygienist, and, I was talking about, why does somebody need a license to be a dental hygienist? And I said, they don't need a license to fix your car, do they? I mean, they have the B.F. Goodrich certification and...
those are voluntary, though.
You know, to be a mechanic, and, a voluntary certification to be a mechanic, I think there's another one, ASCI.
Yeah, ASC, I think.
Something like that, a certification, and, they compete to certify these guys, and if they're certified in this manner, that they're good mechanics.
Right.
And she said, well, that's fine and dandy, but, mechanics can't kill people. she suggested that if somehow you did, you scraped somebody's teeth incorrectly, that you could cause an infection and kill them. And I said to her, well, if you apply their brakes incorrectly, then the next time they try to apply them, they will careen into a school bus. They could kill 20 people.
Sure.
And I really don't think a dentist would hire a dental hygienist who...
Wasn't trained,
yeah, because there's schools you can go to. It's like a four-year college in many cases.
It's not the easiest thing in the world.
No, it's not. It's very tough. But anyway, this barber, this established barber, told the town council there should be some sort of licensing to assure that the new barber...
And he should decide what the...
That's right,
are.
The standards are. And any others who might blow into town later are qualified to perform their barber duties. So the town councilman told their constituents that they are considering a licensing requirement for any barbers in the town. They tell these people that they are doing it for the safety of all the residents. Plus, they tell them that their current barber has been kind enough to volunteer to write the licensing exam.
Yeah.
What a great guy.
How generous.
So the residents suck it up and applaud the councilman. The rule is passed, and the new barber fails the test that the old barber wrote, and he leaves town. Now the old barber can keep his prices high, his quality low, and use the extra money he makes to support his favorite town councilman in the next election.
Yep, it's a great example, and I don't know if there's more of the email. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But it's a great example of what has happened in virtually every industry.
Yep.
This goes on across America at the town level, the state level, and the federal level, and it is crushing to competition in the free market. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month. And you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Do you believe in liberty? Are you an activist or organization that wants to spread the message of freedom to others? Now introducing the Liberty Card. It's the perfect resource for anyone new to the message of liberty. It features a full-spectrum political quiz and over a dozen pro-liberty websites, including Free Talk Live, Downsize DC, and others. Every defender of freedom must have this card. Free Talk Live listeners receive free shipping. For more information, visit libertycard.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-955-1377. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of The 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-955-1377. That's 1-800-955-1377.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you, 1-800-259-9231. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features on the site, totally free, so enjoy those on us. And those features include updates. You just get signed up. We clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. Get on the list for free by going to updates.freetalklive.com. That is updates.freetalklive.com. Mother's Day is this Sunday. If you haven't gotten something for Mom, go to 1-800-Flowers.com and get her something nice. They've got flowers and gifts, and she'll love them. And they'll deliver on Mother's Day. Use code FTL to save 10%. 1-800-Flowers.com.
What are you getting your mother?
You asking me?
Yeah.
A phone call? Maybe I'll get her something. Maybe I'll get her something from 1-800-Flowers. But, you know, she doesn't expect much out of me. I've trained her to not expect much out of me.
A darn shame.
Mark, what are you getting your mom?
I don't know. Something off 1-800-Flowers. My wife takes care of that.
All right. So we've been talking about mercantilism. We've been talking about the difference between capitalism in its pure form and the version of capitalism that this country has going on in right now and has been for decades. It's not capitalism really at all. I don't know if it's even fair to call it that. It's mercantilism, where government works in tandem with existing companies, corporations, in order to protect those existing corporations from
competition,
from new competition
and
in
sometimes
the marketplace.
Sometimes to mandate the use of their product, sometimes to protect them from liability from people they hurt.
Right. In fact, I know, Mark, I think you had a story about corporations tonight, and that would be a good time to pull that up while we continue discussing this email here from Brian in regards to this discussion. All came about from his son talking to one of his teachers about, the teacher said, well, the three different economic systems that are the worst are socialism, communism, and capitalism. And she was just wrong, because she was conflating capitalism with mercantilism, and the two are not the same. So that's what we're sort of defining here. And you just finished up the barber example of, and it's just more of a, it's a not really a tangible real life example, but it really does happen in real life, because this is what happens. Different companies will, that are already in existence, will get together and they'll lobby their friends, and they'll use their friends in government to create a regulatory board. So, for instance, where we come from, there's a restaurant board down in Sarasota that's got an awful lot of power over the regulations and rules that new restaurants that are just opening up must follow.
Right.
Which means that they've got to buy, you know, a certain level of industrial cooking equipment. They've got to, you know, and these things cost a lot of money. They have to have the
$20,000 worth of, you know, hoods to pull grease-bearing vapors
that's
out,
sort of,
and, you know, just nonsense.
Crap. And, you know, they got to renovate their facilities and blah, blah, blah. It's just the list of requirements goes on, and it only gets bigger. Every time the boards meet, they come up with new rules and new regulations to add in. So the barrier to entry gets higher and higher over time.
Right. Anytime they can think of something new that'll make it difficult for somebody to come in and compete with them, then they're happy to do that.
Right. So let's continue with the email if there's more.
Yes. Well, basically, it ends with saying that these people getting their haircuts in this town are paying more for less quality and fewer choices, but they feel protected by their government. That's mercantilism, where capitalists use the power and influence of the government to stifle the competition. So he suggested to his son that he correct his teacher the next day and point out that this is not capitalism at all, and that capitalism isn't bad. Rather, it is mercantilism, where government blurs the line between commerce and coercive force.
True capitalism can only exist in a free market.
That's right.
So how did the teacher take their correcting?
You know, I'm still awaiting a response for that one.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. 800-259-9231. Here's an example, a real-life example of mercantilism in action from LouRockwell.com. Rob Blackstock, Blackstock reporting, recently Christopher M. Montalbano presented an article entitled Flaky Fluorescence. In that piece, Mr. Montalbano reports that Washington might be preparing to pass legislation which will ban normal, everyday light bulbs. Incandescents, that is. That act will, of course, force us all to instead buy fluorescent bulbs. Furthermore, we are informed that this forthcoming legislation is a result of large donations to politicians in return for those politicians making the competition illegal. And, of course, this is what's going on out in California right now, is they're mandating that no one can that you cannot sell incandescent bulbs. And that's what they're looking at doing on a federal level.
You know, I can't think of every use or every way that people are going to be hurt by the by incandescent bulbs going away.
Dimmers? Gone. You can't use dimmers.
Yeah, dimmers will be, you know, destroyed. You won't be able to use a dimmer in your house. How about, when I was a kid, we used to use a light bulb to hatch eggs. If a chicken, for whatever reason, wouldn't sit on an egg to hatch it, we would hatch the chicks that way. So, you know, here's this easy, simple, cheap incubator.
Easy bakes.
Easy bake ovens, you know, little girls, their lives will be changed as a result of this. And everybody laughs at the small results, but, I mean, this is, why? Why is it that they feel that they have to get involved?
Because they're harming the planet. These incandescent bulbs are harming the planet. But what they're not considering though is fluorescent bulbs. When they break, they have heavy metals like mercury in them,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have people throwing them away in their trash.
Right.
And they're going to be smashed in the landfill.
We're
going to
destroy the planet.
And you're going to destroy the planet that way.
Well,
so,
I don't know about that.
Fine. As much as the likelihood of you destroying the planet by using an incandescent bulb is the likelihood that you're going to destroy the planet with a fluorescent bulb, maybe more so.
Yeah, the new LED bulbs actually have a lot more promise, I think, because they use even less power than fluorescents.
Yeah, and they're only $30 a piece.
Well, now
they're
going
to come down.
They'll come down.
They will.
Unless they go full spectrum with those, I think that'll be the way to go. But let the market decide.
Right. If you keep passing legislation, then, I mean, if you're going to mandate that everyone use LEDs or fluorescents, then the price of those aren't going to come down. Why should they? They're mandated. Passing anti-competitive laws in return for payoffs from the winners is not a new concept. The mercantilists were doing it hundreds of years ago. They still are today. However, most Americans are ignorant of these laws until they're actually harmed by them. For example, how many of you remember the now unlamented Freon? DuPont was the patent holder on the greatest invention in human history, Freon. If you've ever visited the Deep South during the summertime, and that's where we used to live, you will quickly realize why Southerners consider Freon to be man's greatest accomplishment.
Mm.
During the 1980s, it was discovered that the stratospheric ozone layer over Antarctica was not as thick as the stratospheric ozone layer over the remainder of the Earth.
Right.
Actually, that shouldn't be a surprise. The key catalyst in the formation of stratospheric ozone is sunlight. It's dark 6 months out of the year in the Antarctic. Furthermore, it is known that ice crystals help to break down ozone. Again, we're talking about Antarctica. About the same time, it was found that in a vacuum, chlorofluorocarbons, also known as CFCs, and hydrochlorofluorocarbons, HCFCs, break down ozone. Again, this only occurs in a scientifically controlled vacuum. Why? Because CFCs and HCFCs are heavier than air. I have found no scientific evidence explaining how CFCs and HCFCs could possibly rise to the level of the stratosphere. Those facts,
it's awful far up there.
Yeah. Those facts didn't stop environmentalists from campaigning against cooking sprays, hair sprays, deodorants, and all other uses of CFCs and HCFCs, including and especially Freon. Look at your hairspray. Look at your, not that I have hairspray, but look at the different aerosol products out there today, and they have that CFC-free logo on them.
Save the planet.
As though that you're doing something by using those products, saving the planet. But those facts didn't stop the environmentalists from campaigning against Freon, and we'll talk about what happened to Freon and what happened with DuPont's opinion of its own product. A product that they created, that they were behind, that they were marketing, and that they were profiting from for a while. All of a sudden, their opinion changed about it. And we'll find out why. Ties back into this whole mercantilist thing. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. You take control.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073. Or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark.
For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee you.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. Bring up what you want. Toll free. 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are for free, including live streams, broadband version of the show, and a dial-up version waiting for you. Free. Freetalklive.com.
Do you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections? SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you want to keep those clients, too. SACL CAI. Check out their banner at freetalklive.com or call 1-800-544-6359. Do business with businesses that support Free Talk Live.
So we're talking about mercantilism, this idea of how a situation where the government works hand in hand with corporations and companies in order to create new restrictive regulations that, for instance, prevent other companies from getting into the business, or once a company's already in business, maybe using regulations, creating new regulations to attack those existing companies with. It's basically companies using government to fight against other companies.
Yeah.
And it's anti-competitive. It's anti-freedom, and it's disgusting. And we're giving you an example now, a real-life example of mercantilism in action. And it's from the 1980s, during the hubbub about CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons, and HCFCs, hydrochlorofluorocarbons, which are supposed to be really damaging to the ozone. And, oh, no, don't spray your hairspray or that off everywhere because it's going to destroy the environment. That was the message that the environmentalists were putting out there when, in fact, it wasn't actually backed up by real science. They found that the CFCs hurt ozone when in a controlled vacuum. But in reality, in the real world where there's gravity, that stuff stays at the level of the Earth. It doesn't go into the atmosphere. It's heavier than air. It's not possible for that to happen. So it's all just bunk science in the first place. But nonetheless, DuPont had created Freon, which has chlorofluorocarbons, I guess, involved in it. And Freon, of course, was an important component in air conditioners. So we continue with the story from this point. So the DuPont throughout the attacks, they stoically defended their product and pointed out correctly that science just doesn't support the alarmist fears. However, in 1992, DuPont changed their tune, and then they admitted that they, too, believed that Freon was harming the ozone layer.
There's a catch.
Strange, isn't it? DuPont backed the Montreal Protocol, which called for the gradual phase-out of chlorofluorocarbon-based refrigerants and encouraged the first Bush administration to adopt an accelerated phase-out. Why did DuPont suddenly come to accept the claims of the environmental lobby when so many scientists believed that the hole in the ozone was not an anthropogenic event, and it was in fact just natural based on the factors of those areas of the Earth? According to Eric Peters, DuPont changed their stance due to the fact that the company's patent on Freon terminated in 1992.
Oh, man. They're so smart, aren't they?
This opened the door to not only domestic competition, but cheaper Freon from South American producers. Seeing that Freon was, quote, the only refrigerant used by the auto industry since the first AC systems were installed in the 1950s, unquote, DuPont stood to lose millions. However, by encouraging regulators to make Freon illegal, DuPont closed the door to competition. Simultaneously, DuPont introduced a patented substitute, HFC-134A. DuPont, quote, owns exclusive rights to that particular substitute, the only refrigerant authorized for use in new car air conditioning systems. On April 27, 1992, DuPont placed a full-page ad in the New York Times which stated, in the U.S. alone, more than $135 billion worth of equipment used in about 3,500 different applications depend on CFCs. All of this equipment must use recycled refrigerants or be retrofitted or replaced before it can use any of the substitutes for CFCs. The division director of DuPont, of their Freon division, summed it up nicely. Quote, when you have 3 billion of CFCs sold worldwide and 70% of that is about to be regulated out of existence, there is a tremendous market potential.
There certainly is.
That's a perfect example of mercantilism in it.
The garbage that the environmentalists shove down our throat and how companies take advantage.
1-800-259-9231 if you've got comments. Bruce Yandel authored The Baptists and Bootleggers' Theory of Regulation, which said that two groups often work together to have regulations passed, but for two very different reasons. For example, both Baptists and bootleggers might pressure government to outlaw alcohol. Baptists, due to their religious beliefs, and bootleggers because they want to profit. The DuPont story is a perfect example of Yandel's theory, in which environmentalists were the religious sect and DuPont was the bootlegger. The environmentalists wanted to stop CFCs because they were harming Mother Earth. DuPont wanted to stop CFCs because by doing so, they're using the coercive power of government to make the competition illegal. Now just think about if there had been no patent in the first place for them to acquire for this invention, then the competition would have started immediately, and there would have been no way. There would have been no government privilege. There would have been no government protectionism. They would have had to have competed in the marketplace from day number one with other producers out there, and that means competing in the marketplace in ways like this means continually innovating, meaning you know that there are going to be people out there that are going to borrow your ideas and sell them too, so you better come out with the next great product real soon instead of resting on your laurels as companies do today with their sweet little patent guarantee where they know that no one else can compete with them. Why should they bother doing anything new and exciting? Why should they bother continually coming out with something else new when they can just sit and profit from their one particular invention for 7, 10, 15 years, however long the patent lasts? And then just renew the patent.
I don't agree with patent law the way it exists in the United States today. For one, you can if Wayne and I think of the same idea at the same time, we think of the same idea, I think of it a week later than Wayne does, he goes out and gets a patent. I can't use my unique idea that I came up with myself. So I have a problem with patent law. But, what I was sitting here and I was thinking as you were railing against intellectual property is just how remarkably similar it sounds like when the socialists rail against the rich people. Oh, my God, they have all the money and they should be able, everybody should be able to get it and use it and that kind of thing.
No, I don't think that's similar at all.
I know you don't.
You're talking about money.
Your argument on your side.
I'm talking about how ideas should be free.
I understand you think ideas should be free, and I don't think that the implementation of ideas is free. And I think that somebody who can, you know.
They're not going to use DuPont's money to create their own Freon. They're going to use their own money.
No, they're going to use the end product of DuPont's research to create their own
Freon. You're presuming that the marketplace would come out with ideas in the same way it does today in the absence of the patent system, and I say you're wrong about that.
You're absolutely right. I would be wrong about that. It is not going to come out with things the same way as it does today because you will entirely change that system.
Correct.
You know, I think that on one hand, there should be some incentive to put the research and development and the innovation together. I think if you can just put all this money in and then just then anybody can use it, there's no real incentive to invest that. So I think there has to be some protection for those who invent.
I like the idea of that I read in a paper. It was like a 50-page paper about the abolishment of so-called intellectual property. And the summary of what, as I understand it, was that their idea, and again, we don't know how the marketplace would handle this process, mm-hmm. but the marketplace would come up with a way to allow the idea people to be rewarded for coming up with ideas and allow the producers to be rewarded for producing those products. They suggested that the idea people would become a separate industry entirely, in that, for instance, using just the university system that we have today, that the idea people could be hired by universities, and so the universities could be the ones that developed Freon, where Harvard could come out with Freon, and that way they would have the renown, or MIT, or whoever it would be to come out with it, they would have the renown, they would have the ability to claim, we developed this, our people come up with the best ideas in the world, here's Freon. And then they put it out there. It's an idea, so any company, DuPont or AC Delco or whoever is manufacturing products that are going to use this particular idea would be able to just pluck that idea out and utilize it for their benefit, for their profits, and for the benefit of mankind. So that's just one example of how the system might shift in the event of a free marketplace to continue to protect those who want to make things, who want to invent and create new ideas, and at the same time also making it so companies don't have to have research and development so much anymore. It could be taken elsewhere and done by idea people.
Or contract idea companies.
Contracts, sure. But then, of course, you've got the international people that could come in and steal the ideas and produce their products in other countries. And how do you enforce in that particular case? It gets a little tricky. Anyway, we don't know what the marketplace would do, and that's the point. Robert in Arizona's coming up. Your calls as well. This is Free Talk Live.
JLS Research, the makers of all-natural and very effective Nobio deodorant, has now discovered very unique research that indicates those who have body odor may be deficient in a certain dietary component. Their new product, the First Responder, supplies the body with the missing link so that it can respond to the symptom called body odor. By using organics and enzymes to step up the body's ability to absorb more freely, the body begins to respond by taking in the missing nutrient. As it responds, body odor will then no longer be an issue. First Responder is the first of its kind, comprised of only four organics: grapeseed skins, grapeseed, grapefruit seed, and garlic. It's so effective, you need only one organic capsule per day to keep the odor away. First Responder is 100% guaranteed. Go online and order First Responder at no-bo.com. Visit no-bo.com or call JLS Research at 850-723-8599. That's 850-723-8599.
DVD, books, music, instrument, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
How are you feeling today? Well, I ask because if you have health challenges, then reading our free e-booklet about the most amazing discovery of our time is crucial. The booklet is about an amazing fruit from Southeast Asia they call mangosteen. It's a centuries-old medicinal fruit whose time has come, and it has amassed 40 years of published research. We have information and testimonials from all over the world about the health potential of this amazing fruit. The powerful botanical has contributed to the well-being of millions of people the world over with health concerns just like yours. You can have this 22-page e-booklet absolutely free. We'll also offer you a website with links to actual testimonials and product information. Could this fruit help you in your quest for total health? Find out why mangosteen is known as the queen of all fruits and why it's fast becoming the best-selling wellness product ever brought to the market. Your health is in your hands. Do something about it today. Call 800-658-0597. Again, that's 800-658-0597.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Live, you bring up what you want, the toll-free number for you, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Though we do ask, we give away all the features on the site, that we do ask you to voluntarily support us by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is simple. If you like what we're doing here on Free Talk Live, then, well, send us $3 a month. We'll take that money in. We'll turn it around into advertising, marketing, and promoting the show, getting the show on more radio stations. In fact, coming up this weekend, we announced two brand new stations last night. I got another one to announce on Saturday night.
Can you? So. I mean, can you imagine that we're growing that quickly? And
well, it was a little slow for a couple months, and now all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's like it reminds me of working in retail. The customers would come in waves.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be no one in the store, and then all of a sudden, 50 people would come through the doors. And it's sort of the same way here. We hadn't had sign-ups for a couple of months from radio stations, and now there's three in 1 week.
You know, I used to work in advertising, and one of my customers was a car dealership, and one of the salespeople, their top salesperson there, was this good Christian guy, and he said, you know, they come like grapes in little bunches.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was a cute little way to think of customers came in.
It's working. The AMP money that listeners are sending in is absolutely having an effect on radio station owners and operators out there. And we're getting on more stations. We're getting more people exposed to the message of freedom and liberty. And that's valuable to you. Plus, you want to get your hands on a few perks, like access to the AMP-only chat room, AMP-only phone line, AMP-only forum. All of the details are there at amp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones and talk to Robert in Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Hey, Robert.
Hi. One thing people don't seem to ever address with these fluorescent bulbs is that people who suffer migraines really have a bad time with those fixtures.
Why?
They trigger migraines. Something about the light frequency. I know that I get migraines, and I can't have fluorescent around me at all.
Well, there are full-spectrum fluorescents that seem to be much better in that regard.
Are they?
Yes.
Well, actually, isn't why I called in, but I did want to bring that up.
Okay, so it's not the pulsating of the light; it's the wavelength of the light, is what you're saying?
Yes.
I think,
gotcha.
I think it's the wavelength or the it may be the pulsing of it. I just know that there's something about a fluorescent bulb that if you're prone to migraines, you just don't want it anywhere around you.
Right, and now the federal government is looking at mandating that people use fluorescent bulbs over incandescent bulbs, and now you're giving one reason, a very personal reason, as to why that's an awful idea.
I also understand
exactly.
That you're supposed to burn them in. You're supposed to leave them on for X number of hours straight when you first get them.
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so what was the reason?
Well, then the other reason that I called in is that my family had brought back during the robber baron period. They picked up a bunch of chandeliers in Europe and had them electrified around the teens and 20s. And I'm sure that those are going to look really good with those twisty light fixtures in them now.
Robert, thank you for the call. Cool. We appreciate hearing from you.
And this is how, these are the unseen effects of the legislation all over.
Yep. That's true. Let's go to Tom in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom. Tom in Maryland?
Going on. Tom.
Hi.
Tom and hello, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing, gentlemen?
Great. What's on your mind, sir?
I wanted to just comment about the Freon story you guys told, and it's not often, we need to be reminded of things like that, is what I really wanted to say.
Yeah.
It had been a long time, and I remember when all that went down. I was in high school, I graduated in 1989, and I think it was in, like, Contemporary Issues or whatever, where fluorocarbons became a topic back then, and then the next thing you know, the Freon, the 1992 model cars were the last that had the old Freon,
and the 93
I just remember when it all went down, and the new, it's not as good, and everything, it just, you know, there's so many lies, you know, whether you're talking about that, or we need to be reminded often of Waco and what went down there, and even Ruby Ridge, and everything they seem to involve themselves in.
And in many cases, it's not just reminding people, but educating them for the first time. I myself, when this happened, I would have only been 12, so I wouldn't have known anything about it.
So
when I read this article, it was the first time I'd heard about it. I'd heard of CFCs, didn't know what they were. I'd heard of, all I knew was that I had cans of off that had a, no CFCs. I thought, it must be bad. I don't have CFCs.
God knows, we wouldn't want CFCs.
Turns out it's all a lie. So, it's also educating those who are just coming up in the world as well.
Yeah, I think the first time I'd ever really heard any serious comment, Gordon Liddy, I used to listen to him many, many years ago, and he had a lot to say about it when it all went down, pretty much a carbon copy of what you guys had said earlier. But that's really all I wanted to say, and if there's anyone behind me, I'd like to get out of their way.
Thanks for the call, Tom. A carbon copy. Was that a pun? Thanks. Thanks for the call. 800-259-9231, CFCs being chlorofluorocarbons. Coming up, let's see, I've got an email about intellectual property since we're on the topic, but to Dave in New Hampshire first. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, lads.
What's on your mind?
Hey, mate.
Oh, well, I just wanted to report in my latest open carry incident in New Hampshire.
Really?
I think incident was probably a glorified word for it, and that's good news. It's these things are getting calmer and calmer every time. And
is this breaking news? Are we getting an exclusive here, Dave, or have you already posted it over at nhfree.com?
No, it just happened about an hour ago.
So is this an exclusive? Breaking news. Hang on a second here. We've got to get the news update feed out here because Dave's a news guy. He appreciates this sort of thing. And Dave, I guess... Breaking news from New Hampshire, another incident with open carry, because here in New Hampshire, a lot of people don't understand this. They've never seen it in their state, but you'll see it occasionally if you're up here in New Hampshire, is that you can legally carry a weapon openly. That's what open carry is all about. As long as you aren't brandishing it at people, there's a difference between carrying the weapon and brandishing it. So, Dave, what happened to you?
Not very much, and that's what's the news. I mean, I was walking, to the Murphy's Tap Room, which is a new restaurant that's been opened here in town in Manchester.
It's being run by Free Staters, isn't it, and owned and operated by Free Staters?
That is
awesome.
Correct. And, of course, open carry is welcome there, and so I was heading there. But I had to park, way up here, like north, about almost half a mile north of the location because parking was so tight. So I had a long way to walk. But I, was open carrying, and on the way I had to pass a lot of officers because there was this concert going on in Manchester tonight, and hardly none of them did a thing. One of them, noticed, and he said, "Hey, what you got?" And I was like, "Oh, it's a Glock 19." He's like, "Oh yeah, we use it's a good gun, we use SIGs, but Glocks are good guns." And that was it. That was all I got from the police.
Pretty cool.
Glock is a fine gun.
And I guess it makes sense that they use SIGs because SIGs are manufactured here in New Hampshire, as I understand.
Yeah.
That's so?
Yep. So that's it then, huh, Dave? You walked through an entire throng of police officers and nobody tried to do anything to you.
Correct.
How different would that have been had you been in New York City? How about Boston? How about Washington, D.C.? You would have been tackled.
Yeah, it would have been over for you.
Yep.
There you go. Thanks for the call,
There's a cop in my town that actually teaches a voluntary gun safety course, and he believes that it's a citizen's job to be a backup for the cops. That's pretty darn good.
Now, there are a lot of cops who will take an anti-position on that. They'll say that you should call the police when you're in trouble and try not to engage the assailant. And whenever somebody actually does engage someone who's threatening others and does essentially what the police's job is because they're too late or whatever, then they actually end up rebuking that person. They end up, public spokespeople will say, well, we don't appreciate what this person did. I don't know if the New Hampshire police would have that same viewpoint, but I've seen that all over from police. They do everything they can to discourage Americans from actually defending themselves and others. It's
right.
Sick.
You know, and you know the statistics on people that call 911 instead of defending themselves.
That's right. Well, what if you were open carrying somewhere and there was and a cop was in trouble and he was by himself? You could help the cop.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wouldn't really feel like helping the cop.
Well, that's you.
That's how I am.
But I would like very much to be able
that
to
cop would want to help me into a jail cell,
help enforce the law. You don't know specifically with every cop, though, Ian.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll
yeah.
draw a generalization with cops, but you won't draw a generalization with anyone else, and that's not really fair.
Well, they should stop enforcing bad laws, and then I'd consider helping the cops. As soon as the cops stop enforcing bad laws,
you don't know whether that specific cop enforces bad laws.
Well,
that's right.
I do know that most cops don't do anything about the corruption that they see amongst their ranks because they're scared of being retaliated against.
How important it would be to that police officer, whatever pro-freedom message you gave to him after you helped defend his life. I mean, imagine what kind of impact it could have on his life. You know, you could say, after you gun somebody down, you know, you're just helped by a criminal because I smoke marijuana. Just thought you ought to know.
Interesting, interesting viewpoint. I like that, Mark. Very good. Very persuasive. I'm thinking a second time about this now. I guess it would depend on the cop. All right. Hour 3's coming up. Coming up, intellectual property, your calls about whatever's on your mind. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instrument, periodical, computer, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Over the years, Genesis Communications Network has grown by leaps and bounds, reaching millions of listeners. The impact on political and social issues have been enormous. Businesses associated with the network have grown to become valuable enterprises. If you are accredited and have an entrepreneurial spirit, national radio may be the opportunity you're looking for. Call me today at 877-996-4327, extension 101. For more information, that's 877-996-4327, extension 101.